Gas. Sorry, apologies. Kat Patterson is with me again. I'm sweating. I'm so excited about this. We had a quick look to see when Kat was last year. It was episode 66, and this is about 170, 173, bonkers, 170 something.
And she's asked me back.
I've asked you back. I could have had you back every week, to be fair. I love talking to you. Pals. I love our conversations. Do you, since you were last on, there has been big evolutions in life. The world, business, because I never even checked what date 60, episode 66 was, but I think it would have been pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic, definitely. Yeah, it was.
The whole world has changed. That's
literally tilted on its axis.
Absolutely. So, tell us what's been happening.
That's a loaded question.
That's a very loaded question. Where do I take that loaded question?
Where do I want to take that loaded question? So, where do you start? So, evolution of, I call it Kat Patterson 2.0, evolution of business, of life, and yeah, never known to remain stagnant for very long. And yeah, turned 50, or just turned 51. As well.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, I love my birthday.
As you should.
Yes.
It's a celebration of life.
I get really, side note before we get into the evolution of everything, I get really irritated with people that get their birthday.
Yeah, people that get, oh, I don't want to turn this next age. You're lucky that you're getting to turn this next age.
Exactly. I have lost too many family and friends who never made it to 50. So actually, when I say I love my birthday, people are like, oh, God, you want hundreds of gifts? I'm like, no. I just love the whole idea of another rotation around this beautiful blue earth thing, blue and green planet thing, and a chance to do
stuff.
More stuff. The aim is to have my headstone. But I was talking about this yesterday to somebody. The aim is to have my headstone, not with the dates 1 and 2, how dull is that? Is to explain the little line and it to be absolutely filled with the words. So I'm going to need some massive tomb just.
Yeah.
Just
mausoleum?
Probably.
By what?
Absolutely. So yeah, evolution in the probably a year and a bit ago now that started, still ongoing, and changed the business. Changed. I actually didn't change what I did, just build a bit more of what I've always done.
Yeah.
And slapped some beautiful branding on it, and it feels glorious.
So rather than being secret cat, or I've got some magic tools, and I'm not going to tell you what
any of this are. Yeah, I kind of thought, what? Because it's really interesting. People are like, oh my god, it's like a new rebirth from a different thing. I'm like, actually, I've kind of always been doing that, just do very covertly. It's just who I am.
It's just your essence.
Yes, just my essence. Let's call it that. Moving on.
Self-like. Cat by name, cat by nature.
Cat ninja. That's what it is. It's just like, but it has just been really interesting. People like speaking to me. Oh my god, that's completely new. It's just it's just probably put out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's time.
What is the most exciting part of it for you?
So much. Do you know what it is? It's, this is going to sound very kind of arsey, but we've all got that kind of latent potential, you know, that stuff that we're not even sure we're able to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my superpowers, one of my gifts, is being able to see it even if you can't.
Yeah.
And doing more work on being able to draw that out.
Yeah.
So we call it, I've had my approach likened to hiding your vegetables in your pasta, right?
Hiding your vegetables in your pasta.
In your pasta sauce, because you need your 5 a day, and you need to eat your vegetables. But we know that little kids are usually like, I'm not eating broccoli and butter beans and all the other things. So you mash them up, you're hiding your pasta sauce, you're going to get them anyway, you're going to get the goodness anyway, before you've even realised it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I like to do. It's like, I can see it in people, I can unlock it in people, but if I tell them what I'm going to do, they'll go, ah, no, that's, don't do that. Oh, I'm a bit scared.
And you were speaking directly to me, though. Yeah. We have worked together. Remember that time, Jen?
But she still was recently, very recently, you side-eyed, you were like that. You said something in a group, you went, Kat, I realised Kat's listening to me.
Like, I was told not to sign up for any more courses, and I signed up for another course.
Well, and let's put that into context. So I'm not, again, I'm always about the ongoing development, but when you're hiding behind accreditation after accreditation, not saying that you were, but people do, right?
As I was. You might not have known, but it was all my insecurities were driving me to getting the bit of paper to prove, because I'm brought up in a world,
yes,
where academia matters, not necessarily in my family, but in the grand scheme of the world. And it was like, people won't respect me if I don't have this bit of paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, who rocks up and goes, before I'm going to come to one of your classes and learn from you, can you show me all your certificates and your National Record of Achievement folder? Right? Nobody does that. That I'm not saying you shouldn't develop either.
Yeah.
Of course you should spend time developing,
yeah,
but not for the sake of having the worth attached to it, that said that you can only work with people if you've done that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be a brain surgeon, I would suggest you go and learn to do a brain surgeon before you kind of put that out in Fiverr.
Don't do a Jimmy course for brain surgery, like, for certain top-ups. Udemy is amazing, like, I've done, yeah. I've had, and there's some brilliant teachers on these platforms, but, yeah, not for the important stuff.
Yeah.
And not for your top-level qualification.
Totally, and don't hide behind that I need the bit of paper to prove that you're really good at something.
Yeah.
So it's back to that, it's seeing that in people, being able to change those blockers, kind of shift the paradigms, and yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I have found very valuable working with you when we did the one-to-one coaching, and then when we did that Boosty,
of course,
was learning that I don't fit into a personality type or a category, but that's okay. Because I went through a whole turmoil of, is that because I'm a people pleaser and that I've learned all these skills and then I can just adapt myself, or is actually that my nature?
Yeah.
And being able to go, no, actually, I can do all these things. I don't have to do them all, which is also a really important lesson.
But you're right, because the one thing that, you know, a human being, the human nature thing, is I don't want to fit in a box. It'd be really useful if I had a label.
Yes.
Right, and there's this dichotomy that kind of goes on with that, that trips people up sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of adopted a new term this year. Of course I have. and it's called the anti-chameleon. Right, mm-hmm. And I think you fit into that. So chameleon, everybody else
thinks.
Well, I just get into giving people labels, will I? Like, you want it or not. Unsolicited label. Unsolicited label. So anti-chameleon, people think about chameleons, we can kind of change to their surroundings and fit in. Well, it's a bit dull.
Yeah.
So why not be the anti-chameleon and everything? And it's not to be rebellious for rebelliousness' sake.
Mm-hmm.
It's to, exactly as you say, it's to go, oh, actually, I don't fit in that box and that's okay. And
yeah.
It doesn't mean I'm either more than or less than.
Yeah.
We're all rebellious to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It's just that we kind of get caught up in a society that tells us we should fit in.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a bit rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want a friendship base where I have to fit in.
Yes.
I don't want a friendship base where I have to be a certain way when I show up in a particular group of people. See, if you don't like it, jog on, love.
Yeah. You don't have to think what hat I need to put on to fit in with this group. Uh-huh. And if I've got my conspiracy hat on with that group, but not with that group, then I have to watch what I'm saying all the time when I'm with that group. But when I'm with that group, I can't let them know that I'm a wee bit mainstream, so... And you're always watching what you're saying and suppressing parts of yourself, and that's stressful, which makes you sick.
Which you then have to deal with.
Yeah.
Or the folk that rock up going, I'm this, I'm that, I've got all these ailments, whatever.
Yeah.
Actually, yes, there's a physicality to that, but it's usually a lot of trapped stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the quotes I put on my website, going to my website. Hiding bits of you in yourself is exhausting.
Yes.
So exactly that. If you show up and you're watching your P's and Q's, energetic. Like, that is exhausted. That's like what must, you know, people who are compulsive liars, they're constantly having to remember who have I told what bit of the story to. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But we're conditioned to think that that's what we should do to fit in, stop fitting in.
Yeah. One of my yoga teachers says there's only ever one truth. And whether that's lying about who you are as a person or lying about a circumstance or whatever. And most people, like if you talk, when I talk to people about their values, and most people tell you that honesty is a really important value to them, but they're not being honest with themselves. You know, like, how honest are you being with yourself about how you show up in the world? And are you being honest about what you're doing for your own health? Mm-hmm. You're saying, oh yeah, I'm doing all the stuff, you're stuffing your face with this, then you're not being honest about it. Whereas if you're like, well, actually, I'm stuffing my face with this, you're being honest about it. You're like, I know that this is not doing me any good. But
yeah,
that's the car I'm rolling in this week.
Absolutely, isn't it? It would be lovely if we could just stop kidding ourselves on.
Oh.
You know, and I get that, you know, forming habits and changing habits that are ingrained is a tough gig, right?
It is, yeah.
It's a lot of unlearning. But my God, watching people beating themselves up, oh, I've done this and I've been trying this and I've not been doing that well. Okay, but at least that's honesty.
Yeah.
I was like, I say this every time, self-awareness, we talk a lot about that in the self-development world. Self-awareness is the first step.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Self-regulation
mm-hmm.
is the second important step, i.e. it's okay if you know you're a dick, but you need to stop being a dick.
Yeah.
No, you can self-regulate. Do you know? To not be a dick.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Being a dick at some point.
Yeah.
If you do it, it's okay if you know that, but you need to self-regulate. And I say need, you know, I'm not usually one person who shouldn't need and everything, but actually for your own self-preservation and for your own sanity, if something's making you unhappy, stop. And we perpetuate things even that make us unhappier.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realise that sometimes. We're always thinking, oh, I'll perpetuate the good stuff. But we're also responsible for perpetuating some of the stuff that makes us feel like crap.
Yeah.
Because it's okay to eat crisps. It's just not okay to eat. Besides a small country. Oh, no, see, six packs already.
I suppose multi-packs look smaller than a regular pack of crisps. So, yeah,
and I wouldn't be being honest with myself if I hadn't sat a multi-pack.
Oh, yeah, I've eaten a multi-pack in more than months, and it's not good for your health. So.
It's not.
It doesn't come with a recommendation label, but also...
But don't do it every day.
Don't do it every day, and then don't beat yourself up if you do it, because the stress of beating yourself up and that negative energy is going to be more damaging than eating the crisps and going, I enjoy them.
Enjoy that day.
Honestly, I enjoy them.
We're crisp fans.
We are big crisp fans. We are big crisp fans. There was something else that came to mind when we were talking there that I was like, oh, there's a direction. Can't remember what it was. It will come back to me like today. It's,
must have been a lie.
It was, no, I know what it was. You were talking about self-regulation. So I'm perimenopausal and I'm religiously tracking my cycles. I started tracking my cycle to find out how my bowel was and if it was fluctuating on my cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But I also track my mood and my energy on it. So I now know that 7 days out from my bleed, I'm a fucking bitch. Oh my God, the words that come out of my mouth, but literally I'm like, oh, I'm not being pleasant today. And I was at my mum's, so she was getting it.
She was in the firing line.
She was in the firing line that day. And I'm going on holiday with her, like, you're going on the flying out on the 26th for my birthday. And she was like, I don't know if I want to go on holiday with you. And I was like, it's all right, I'll have had my period. We just do it a week and then I'll be all right. Don't worry. This is just, we're 7 days out. I've said, Chris knows it's on the fridge. You can check what day of the cycle we're on. And then he knows to take for me. So it's like, right, there's the self-awareness.
Yeah.
Here's some help to help me regulate it, because I can feel the words coming out and I don't want to suppress them, because the suppression of rage. If you're annoyed about something, just say it.
Yeah.
Find a nicer way to say it sometimes than... can come out, but it's like, actually, well, I need to let this out, because it's a release.
Yeah, it's like a sneeze, don't hold it in because your eyeballs will fall out.
Yeah. All our bodily functions.
functions we should not suspect, yeah. And that includes emotion.
But it's also, I suppose, there's a choice, isn't there? If I know I'm being like that, and actually would I be like that anyway, maybe not. So could I remove myself from that?
Yeah.
So it's, but I feel in the moment and it's caught up.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know, right, in this wee window, how can I avoid as many people as possible?
Yes.
But yeah. I will be in a rage by myself in here. Like, I threw a bit of a gate across the kitchen one day, like, just in an absolute outburst of rage. And it's like, wow, I'm mental.
But isn't it mad that these invisible forces,
mm-hmm.
hormones, that we're only really starting to understand, starting to read about them rather than understand them, I'd say. And the control, particularly for women, that they have over their life. I mean, I am not menopausal because I went through 18 years ago now, early menopause, and didn't know what was happening. But only last year, so I wasn't on HRT, but I was on some other kind of hormone thing. Don't ask me. I took some stuff. And
you're not me when it comes to that.
And it made me slightly calmer, I believe, for the last 18 years. But last year, obviously, because I was turning 50, they were like, "Oh, we can't give you that anymore." And I was like, "Oh, okay." But there was no letdown. It was just taken off me. So,
yeah.
Of course, I went to France for a month with my husband, and we had a safe word.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, "Good luck." I have no idea what's about to happen. And we're in a foreign country.
Yeah.
Do you know? And there was one morning we got up. And he just looked at me and went, "You need to go and run for 2 hours all on the beach, don't you?" And I was like, "Yes." But see, when you know that, and it's that regulating, so I'm like, I know what I need.
Yeah.
I've tried to explain to you what I need. I've got no other explanation around why it's happening. All I know is it's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm not very pleasant to be around, and for our marriage, and for the sake of our sanity and enjoying our nice holiday together. Remove yourself, or I'll remove myself.
Yeah,
whatever it is. And
so you don't need to apologize.
Basically, because I know in that moment, like, you, there's stuff that you want to say, and actually, it's unregulated and it's unsolicited, and usually it's not based on any form of truth. It's just in that moment.
Yeah.
So actually, if I let it pass, I would never have said it anyway. So mm-hmm. So let's just have a nicer day if we just remove ourselves.
Yeah.
The self-regulation, and also being honest about what you need. Particularly if you're with a partner or a family member or a pal or the people that you surround yourself with, it's okay to say, "This is what I need today,"
mm-hmm.
or "This is what I need in this moment." And that need might be, "I'm going to remove yourself," or "Could you remove yourself?"
We need space.
And also add in the whole introvert thing on top of that, and there's just a lot of time you don't.
Yeah.
Or with the right people.
That's something else you talk a lot about, that the introvert, extrovert, and understanding where you are in that spectrum, where you are in that, so that you can look after yourself in the appropriate way.
Yeah, because I think introversion, extroversion, ambiversion over the years has become muddied, and it's kind of eked into popular psychology, which winds me up. Because people think, "Oh, you're an introvert, you're shy." I'm like, "Oh, I'm the furthest thing from shy." But there are shy introverts. Equally, there are shy extroverts.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about how you charge your energy, and actually about what's going on in your world. So introverts have got a lot in their head, so the last thing they need is stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Adds to that, and I talk a lot about sensory overload. You know, you'll see me if it's a very loud, busy room, or like, you know, even business with networking things. I'm just that kind of going rock back and forward in a corner, just the sensory overload.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, extroversion is very much you get your stimulus from the outside world.
Yeah.
So it's not even recharging your energy being around people, because extroverts need time alone as well. But it's about how you interact. Well, basically, so I think when you know that about yourself,
mm-hmm.
then you can make different choices. Then you don't fall into the trap of, "This is the way to do things, and this is a blueprint, and if you follow this," particularly in business, "if you follow this, then that'll work for you."
Yeah.
There's a lot of grants.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've done the whole thing about, I've had memberships, and I've ran them, and then I've shut them down.
Yeah.
And I've run masterminds, and I've ran them, and I've shut them down. And now I do everything remotely. You don't even get to speak to me. I do it via email. People are like, what? I'm like, nobody wants to show up on a Zoom call for 2 hours.
Yeah. It's a huge commitment.
It's a huge commitment. It's a huge commitment. Like, I'm draining, you know, and that whole being weird digital stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather walk and talk, you know, or I'd rather do this. And the irony is not lost that we've been filmed. Digital stuff, but we're having a normal conversation. I'd rather do it that way. But it fits into people's lives. So it's about knowing how can I craft and design. So I talk a lot about life design. And that means life and business. How do I design it that absolutely fits with who I am perfectly?
Yeah.
Then every day's blanking joy.
Mm-hmm.
Then every day you wake up and you're like, I cannot wait to start my day. Well, and oh man. I can't believe we've got to do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
There's always bits. I'm not being flippant, you know, there's always bits of life and business that are a bit of a chore. Taxes. Do you know? Not helped with the fact that I'm able to sell well. But so there's always going to be bits that you hate, but if you can make that minority and maximise the stuff that you love that fits around who you are, the very core of who you are, why would you not do that?
Yeah. Yes, I was talking to Jenny Drew.
Oh yes,
so creative, and we were talking about how I want my membership to look like, and she was like talking about a Facebook group and a WhatsApp group, and I was just like no,
make it stop.
No. Through the conversation, she was like, oh, I feel like if you did these things, you would just be doing them because somebody else is telling you to make them work, and I was like. When I said, and see my clients, the clients that come to me don't post on social media, they don't share their journey on social media, they're probably more on that introverted side where they come along, they enjoy it, they communicate with each other if they're on Zoom, a lot of them already know each other, if they're in class, they'll chat, but then that's it, they have that community there and then, and that ticks those boxes, and then it goes away. So what I started doing for the and this was inspired by you, was for the on-demand memberships, was emailing them once a month and just checking in with them, because what I noticed when I left one of the memberships that I had been in, I paid for it for the full year and then I forgot it was there because I never heard from them again. And then a whole year went past and my annual payment came out and I was like, oh, I forgot I had that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's good for me to think about for my membership, right? So I'm going to send them once a month, tell them what new videos have been uploaded into it, because of the seasons, maybe think about where do you want to put your attention, and then send me your goals and send me your wins for the last month. And it's like, right, that's how I'm going to help people be accountable, but it be low touch.
Yes.
They can respond if they want, they don't have to, if they don't feel drawn to it.
And it feels good for you.
Yeah.
And there's also
that opportunity for them to see, could you maybe add in another couple of videos of this or of that, and then I can record them and upload them, so I'm delivering what they need, not just what I think they need, as well as having the support there where they need it, but it's not a Zoom call.
And that's the thing, if you want to do those things, and that's the thing that gives you energy, and I've got, you know, I've worked with loads of women, and I've got loads of, you know, friends in business as well, and every single one of them does things differently, and you're right, you know, people are like, yay, and that been like her jazz hands and dancing bears, and that's brilliant, and I'm just like, oh, I've been doing that.
I need the quiet corner.
It's just about preferences, but it's getting really clear on, because sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and you don't until you test it, and then you go, actually, that's horrible, I don't like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And other times you think that sounds weird, and then it works out really well.
Yeah.
But it's about stop listening to people as gurus who are telling you there's only way to do one thing. That's a load of crap. And actually work out test stuff. I think we get out the way of testing. We think that we can pick things off a shelf and it's going to work for us. Just test it.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might test it and go, this is brilliant for 6 months. And I did that with a membership. I kind of had it for a year and I was like, oh, I really loved it. And then I just went, nope, done with that.
Yeah.
So it's for now, it's not forever. It's okay to do that. Find what doesn't feel heavy and burdensome. And also know your people. You're right, your people are private people.
Mm-hmm.
They're me. Do you know?
Yeah.
they don't need that. They need more of a transient community rather than something that they're in all the time. And other people need that anchor point all the time.
Yeah,
it's just about choosing what's
choosing the person or the community that meets your needs.
Yeah,
and just because that class is all singing and dancing, or those people are all singing and dancing, and having their weekly mastermind team call, rah rah, and sharing every single thing on social media.
Yeah,
it's like, and you can do that even thinking about how you look after your health and how you look after your well being. Mm-hmm. And like you're saying, something might work for 6 months and then doesn't, so then you tweak it and change it
totally
and find something else, and that can be your exercise routine, it can be your diet, your whatever, because we don't work with the seasons the way we should.
We should, and funnily enough, I build a lot of the seasons. I don't talk about it a lot, but I build that a lot. And you know, it's got, there's a lot of ranting from me today. I'm so sorry, just in one of those moods.
I love a rant.
And I get this works for some people, again, it's that caveat, if it works for you, do it, if it doesn't, don't feel bad about it. So the whole new year, let's do vision boards, let's do goal setting, let's not.
Yeah.
January's okay.
A dark month.
January is winter! February is winter.
Yeah.
I had commented on something, a great group of people that I kind of follow on social media, and they're all about social media, and they put out a post about, you know, right, if you set your goals up for the rest of the year. And I replied, and they kind of got to know me. I'm like, yeah, I'm hibernating. They're like, oh, when you come out of hibernation, I'm like, I'm 2027. So I'm thinking that I might stick my head out about the paradigm. But that's thinking winter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you think about kind of removing into spring, and it's not that nothing's going on, everything's growing behind under the ground.
Yeah.
You know, the trees are still doing their thing. You're watching the birds forming. But what they're not doing is looking at,
Right,
it's not what's happening. And I mean, Chinese New Year's happening now as we are talking, so this is what, you know, beginning of February, and that's full on for them. So not every culture has the same New Year kind of set up, New Year cycle. So you don't, there's no need to fit into one box.
Mm-hmm.
And some years I will do the whole goal set, and I'm like, you know what, I'm in the mood for it, it's amazing.
Yeah,
and most of the time I'm like,
Nah.
I'm going to drink lovely tea, stay under a blanket, do my thinking, do my contemplating, because that's where I know I do my best work.
Yeah.
And I know that it frustrates people who are very spontaneous. I've got a lot of friends who are very extroverted and spontaneous. You don't know the next time before you know what the thought of an idea and it's out and they've got out in the world. And I'm like, I'm just going to contemplate that for another 6 months.
But it suits me. I'm a bit between the two. They're both. Oh, that's a good idea, let's put that out there. Or I'm like, oh, that's a good idea, let me peruse that for you. Well, like my tea, we spoke about the tea in January 2022.
Yeah,
it was January 2024 that it appeared on my website.
Like, do you know what you should do to put your blinds and together?
I just need to now start promoting it that it's there.
But it's got to feel good, right?
Yeah.
Because I think there's a difference between procrastinating on something,
mm-hmm.
and usually there's a blocker to procrastination. You know, there's something actually, if you're not doing something, there's a question to be asked, is what is actually stopping me doing that? Other times it's just like, that's not the right time, and that's absolutely mm-hmm. grand. It's like the new branding for me, there's a laugh about it, when we're kind of talking about, you know, the words just things are downloading, and you start to see them everywhere.
Yeah. Like,
so they're everyday words, they're not everyday words, they're words in a dictionary. It's quantum quintessence, but it's the only way I can describe quantum being the perfect unit of energy and quintessence being the perfect example of something, ergo that being the perfect every human being.
Yeah.
Right? Because it doesn't matter. You're all that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you look like or what makes you different or what makes you the same or what year you were born or all of those things. It's the perfect human being. But the point is, you don't need to fit in a box. Stop trying to fit in a box.
I've said that.
Yeah, a lot. Stop. And also, don't
you come back to my feedback.
And also, don't beat yourself up. If it does take you 2 years, then either that's a 2 years of procrastination of that was never, you were never meant to do that, or mm-hmm. it's just not the right time, because you're always right on time.
Yeah.
We're never late. We're always right on time.
I do have the, there was illness for 18 months. And then there was, I needed to tick a box for qualification. for me to go, right, I'm insured to be able to do this now.
Insurance is different. Insurance is different. That's a good bit of paper to have, I would say. Good advice for life. So that, yeah, there are things, and I've been doing it as well. I was part of that evolution as running retreats is part of what I do now. Probably Jen is going to help me with some of that and some of the body work and stuff. But I was out in Barbados randomly. I said yes, and I went on a trade mission to Barbados last year. But like that, people are like, so have things moved on? And I'm like, no, because you need work permits and you need to think about what the tax implications are.
Yeah.
And that's before you've even picked a venue. Because actually, what I will do on that retreat, I already know what I'll do.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's done.
Yeah.
But actually, it's the logistics of how you get people to another country. It might not even need to be Barbados. It could still be Scotland. It could be France. It could be anywhere.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bit of the puzzle. And some people do that really fast. And it's brilliant to watch. I need to know the details, then I can go back to something.
Yeah.
Once I know the legalities, like how do I protect people? How do I protect myself?
Yeah.
How do I make sure that, you know, people get visas or whatever they need or work permits, or how do I make sure that people get the right things to get a country and all those things, then I can go back with it.
Yeah.
Other people do it in reverse order for that. So there's no right way. But no, I've been thinking about that for a little while. And people are like, really, you're not being to Barbados again yet? We're not going to Barbados with you. I'm like, all right, sorry. So yeah, but the thing is, the talks are still continuing in the background. You might not see it, and I'll be talking about it on social media because, you know, nobody needs to know everything. But they're going on, and they're going on in good time. And I might go at some point, actually, I don't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It might never come to fruition, but it's just a bit of the possibility of it and just exploring it and being curious.
Yeah, and seeing what doors open to maybe guide it in whichever direction. So you say it might not be Barbados, but then you might meet somebody that's got a venue in another country that you're like, oh, perfect.
Sure.
And that takes away having to worry about this, and this, because we can sort that for me. And then you just need to rock up or whatever.
Yeah.
But you've not closed off the that energy.
Yeah, and it's about being clear on that, and then we know that you attract them. So I get that there's a whole lot of stuff about manifesting. I'm not really into that. I'm more into that particular activating system.
Yeah.
You program it into your brain, then you start to see it everywhere. So Barbados or retreats, as they are programmed firmly in my brain, have been for a long, long time. I've been doing some of it, and now I'm kind of ramping up. But I know that exactly as you're saying, the right people will show up, the right opportunities, because you're tuned in to looking for it without consciously doing that. Expect the unexpected. That's why I'm not in a goal setting. I'm not just expect the unexpected. Because you have larger goals, then you feel beholden to them.
Yeah.
And there's no space for curiosity or going down another path.
And if you don't reach that goal, then you feel deflated, and then that demotivates you to then do the next thing. And if you're if you think, like, say the tea example, if I had gone, yeah, let's do the tea, and I'd only focused on doing the tea in that moment, and it hadn't panned out because of the illness, because of everything else, it would have left that failure feeling. Whereas I've explored, I've took the time.
Yeah.
It's now you're drinking it.
No, that's amazing. but that's it. It's the kernel of an idea. And there's, you know, it's really interesting that, you know, because obviously we have worked together, and people say, well, you only work for 90 days with people. And I'm like, yeah, because you don't need to be codependent on me.
Yeah.
And you don't need me to be chatting your door every 2 seconds. And actually, you need space to go and implement and do stuff.
And it's not stuff that's only valid for those 90 days. And it's not only valid for business. It's valid for life.
Yeah. And actually, one of my other women that I work with, you know, Laura said, I'm sure it was the time we were both over at my house, and she said, oh, I've still got a notebook filled with all the stuff that you told me, and that was like 3 or 4 years ago. She said, so now I've opened it, and I'm like, oh, that's what you meant. Like, I'm doing that now. And I'm like, yeah, because that's the point. It's, if you're not, you've heard it, but you're not ready to hear it. And it's not until you then realise, it's almost like a vision board in kind of journal form.
Yeah.
But it's programmed in, and it'll happen.
But you don't need to be holding yourself to, I need to do this. That just feels like a rubbish energy to sit in.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, I do laugh at it. I think the best compliment, this goes in a really random compliment, cats really hard to work for you. You know what that is? It's like I've been all over your website and I don't know how to work for you. And I'm like, yeah. Your point is call up. But it's because I create that whole covert secret society.
Yeah.
That attracts those types of people who are slightly rebellious, who sit kind of going, I'm going to find out how to hold her. Do you know? And then I'm like, oh, you're showing a bit of tenacity. Let's come into my world. But it's those kind of ideas. So I never thought I would create a secret society, but I've created exactly that. And people are like, oh my God, it's a secret society. I'm like,
It's like the MI6 of
coaching, because nobody knows who else is in it. People can't help but reveal themselves at the moment, and it just makes me chuckle. It's like, Kat, I'm in your secret society, and you don't know who else is in it. But can I say something on LinkedIn? Yes, you can. They're usually my extroverted people.
I want to share this journey.
It's choice, you know, it's choice, and that's the point, is that it's your choice. I'm not going to share it.
Yeah.
If I get your permission to share it, that's a different thing, but I'm not going to just do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, play to your strengths. Don't try and ram yourself into a box that doesn't fit. Just get rid of the box in the first place. And test stuff out.
Yeah. In every aspect of your life.
Yeah, I'm so glad, because this is fun. We finally got the tea! It was worth the wait. Totally worth the wait. And now I've had a whole conversation about how long did I brew that for? How much did I put in?
All those things. You had a lesson on how to brew the tea.
Absolutely, I'm a tea Jenny. I love all of my teas. I live for tea and naps and blankets and cats. That's my life.
That is thrilling. What is next for Kat Patterson?
Oh, I don't know. I actually don't know. I'm excited to find out. I don't have a big idea, or I suppose I've got a vision of owning my own retreat space. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe a chateau in France. I would love that.
Yeah.
Don't know how that's going to happen. But that's the best bit about it. So I'm just, as I said, program it in and the right people. And I've already had conversations, funnily enough, that those people have revealed themselves to me about, well, somebody already owns a chateau in France.
Yeah.
So I'm having conversations. And how did you do that? What does that look like? What does that entail? That would be the dream. Have my own place that I could run my coaching from, run retreats from, even talked my other half into, because he teaches martial arts, to exit out of the engineering company and run pop-up kung fu. So that's finally.
So at your chateau,
yes.
It'll obviously have its stables that you can convert into a studio space to have him doing his kung fu.
Kung fu.
And then I can come out and I can teach Pilates and yoga. And it's
how
just
good would that be?
A whole thing. And other people obviously can maybe go and teach classes.
Well, I wonder if I've vetted you first, obviously. Some of those and such as those that have invited, you know. that would be the dream. But what's really lovely is I don't have a how. I don't care about the how.
Yeah.
And you know, it might never happen. I'm kind of holding my thought quite closely. But I'll build to that in terms of I'll still run retreats at my house. I'll still run retreats in Scotland. I'll still run venues. They will again present myself doing. I might do something in Barbados because I've been out there now and I've made some great connections. It's all about the unknown is beautiful.
Yeah. I get my retreat coming up in May this year.
Of course.
Dumfries and Galloway, staying on the land this time.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I can't wait to hear all about that too. And it's those things, isn't it? Because you learn something different from different groups of people, bringing different dynamics together, and then what you
working
do.
Working with different people as well. So I'm working with Vicky this time from the Little Foragers Kitchen.
Yeah.
So
wow.
We did a podcast on what we were going to do, and she's like, we're going to do ancestral fire building. And I was like,
what?
We're going to do what? She's like, we're going to do it. And I was like, clarify what that means.
I don't
want to learn how to build a fire by friction. I'm so excited.
Good old fashioned.
Yeah. Because the original ways. Yeah. Because
whoever discovered that is a genius.
Absolute genius. Because we now have tea. We have curries.
Your work here is done. See? It's the comfort he finds in life, isn't it? Curries.
Yeah. And that would have been somebody just exploring what's possible with no expectation, because we didn't even know that was possible. Because we never know what's possible.
No, exactly. And that takes us full circle back. What do you like most of what we do? When you see it in people, they can't see it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see what's possible. And then it can go exponential when they
unleash.
The uh-huh.
Yeah,
totally. Well, that's brilliant.
We'll clip that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because what's that thing that they say? Make a plan and watch God laugh at you.
Yeah. I totally. Tell God what your plans are. Give them a big old laugh. Totally, whether you're Rogers or not, it's totally the truth. Because if you're not prepared to get off peace with it, I mean, it's the whole Barbados thing. I mean, people look at me, yes, I do have red hair. Yes, my skin is blue. Would I go to a very hot country? No. And yet I walked into a networking bank with a woman, Jo Smith, who runs our Renfrewshire Business Network. I'm not known for my networking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an introvert, for God's sake. I prefer being in my jammies in the house.
Thanks for coming out.
No, I know. It's for the right folk. It's for the right folk. I come out. And I thought, I haven't seen Joe for about 8 years. I'll go and catch up, and literally within 5 minutes. Kat, we're on the trade mission to Barbados. And I think you're doing retreats, aren't you? Luxury retreats. Showed me a video, and I'm like, yeah.
Sign me up.
Do you know? And actually, what was really lovely is I went with no expectations. I had no idea. Barbados was never on my radar. And off I went. And I had no idea what to expect. And what was really lovely was really getting into the culture of, you know, everybody's saying, oh my God, the heat and everything. It is so well built for shade, because the Bayesian community are going, it's only you dafties that come and line us in. It's somebody that's hot here. Do you know? It's really hot. We're not going to sit out in the midday sun.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, these two of them bonkers. We're all like, well, I'm not a lot of rotisserie chicken, but a lot, you know, you like heat on your bones, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But it's extreme heat, so it's built for there's loads of shade, there's loads of greenery, it's a beautiful island of. So I hardly wore sunscreen, even though it was that
because you were in the shade.
Because I was in shade.
Yeah.
I could find shade really easily. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a holiday resort.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit bonkers even the beaches. Then I ended up on the beach. I'm not really a fan of beaches either. I don't know, why am I doing something for Barbados? I like trees and greenery and mountains. But I thought it would be madness not to come all that way, travel all that way and not go. And it was a private beach, it was part of where we were staying, which was very luxurious. So me down at 5 o'clock in the morning, on the beach. I was the only person on this beach. And it was stunning, and the sound of the water and everything else. But again, when I'm back up to the hotel to kind of, you know, wash the sand off my feet and prepare for whatever we're doing meetings that day, any of the Beijing community were saying, yeah, we don't go down and sit on the beach. That's mad roasting.
That's it's such a strange thing to do, but we do that because that's what we've learned to do, because we spend so much time inside. If you were out and about outdoors, you wouldn't have to lie down in the sun to sunbathe because you would just be getting the vitamin D that you needed. Yeah. But because you've been inside, your body's like, you need to go lie in that sun and get me topped up.
Totally.
It's such a strange thing that we do.
But I also understand why people want that heat on their bones. Mm-hmm. My problem is not that if it was a lower heat, it would be more tolerant. I just can't sit for that length of time. I get very, very, very bored.
Mm-hmm.
I like to read a book. I'd rather do that cuddled up on my couch somewhere in a kind of cozy corner than lying on the beach getting sweaty. Again, each to their own.
Yeah.
So, say yes to stuff. Just say yes to stuff and be curious.
Yeah.
Work out if it's for you or not. Mm-hmm. Advice for life.
Yeah. And I think when we do that more, approach from that curious space, it helps the nervous system calm down because you're not being overstimulated, you're not, what's the next thing? And I lived in that space. I still have to catch myself in that space and be like, stop, just take a breath. Because that's been my, what's next? Hypervigilant, super, sympathetically driven.
Yeah.
My nervous system was programmed that way from birth, just due to the circumstances of my birth, the birthing experience in life, that has been there. And now that I know that I'm up there, it's like, doesn't matter how I got there, it's like, what do I do now? How do I regulate this now? How do I bring that down? Can be useful to be a go-getter and get shit done, but also not when it burns out.
Not when it burns out. And it's spotting the red flags of burnout before we become burnout.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get better at that. I'm the same. You know, I got diagnosed with, I think I said this the last time we spoke about, you know, chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and endometriosis, and that doesn't go away. Even if you get menopause, smashing. Yes, I am the Grim Reaper.
you would think it would.
No, it doesn't. You know, arthritis, everything. So you could open a medical dictionary and go, cat, just stay in your bed for forever.
Yeah.
But actually, there's ways of doing stuff, because exactly that. You go, okay, these are the signs of me going down a path that's not useful. Let's stop that earlier last time. And it's a constant learner. Look, you never get it right, you know, but you usually have to go to the extreme or hit rock bottom before you start to come back and realise, oh, my cycles, whatever.
Yeah.
Stay out my way for these particular dates. It's not until you map those things that you can take care of yourself a bit better, I would say. Your nervous system's an interesting one, because it's not even that it's like, it's an interesting word you use, calm, it's just that regulation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because it's okay sometimes to be the hyper, and other times you just want to be in a really neutral kind of state. And it's the same with your emotional state as well. It's okay to be emotional, it's okay to be vulnerable, it's okay to cry, folks.
Yeah.
No, I've only done it out of that eye. Like, obviously, about 7 seconds in 1984. It is okay to do those things, but it's also okay to not be coming from a place of emotion and to manage your emotional state. Because if it sends you off the deep end, that's not going to be useful for you.
Yeah.
So just be constantly, and I don't mean being hypervigilant, that's not useful. It's just being aware and going, what can I do for that? Can I do something?
This self-awareness, teaching self-regulation.
Totally.
First step.
Second step.
There we are.
Life's dead easy. Honestly. It really is.
And if you track, like, you can track your cycle. Or if you don't have a cycle, track your mood and energy on the moon cycle, so from a full moon to right the way round, so that you've got a 20-day window.
Tells you something, right?
It's going to give you some form of information of there's highs and lows throughout a period, especially for women. It's very important.
It's just information.
To get good information about ourselves, because society is not built for the female cycle.
Yeah.
It's built for Monday, Friday, 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can come in from 8 till 7, that would be even better. And work weekends when you go home. Like,
I know.
People milk the blood out of you.
I know.
At every opportunity, and you're conditioned from when you start school, or go to start nursery, even younger than that. Yeah. It's like you're in Monday to Friday, you're in from these hours. Yeah. You go to the toilet when we say, you eat when we say, you Absolutely. Move when we say. So by the time you become an adult that can go, hang on a wee minute. Some of us are 45 going, hang on a wee minute.
But isn't it, because you're so conditioned, you don't even see it happening, because it's a social construct.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, even schools weren't even set up. Schools were never set up, and they were never set up. I don't get the stats on schools, we can't, because this will take
a lot. This will be another hours. Day.
Briefly on schools. Schools were set up because, you know, like, you had parents usually working in mills and industry.
Yeah.
And there was nowhere for the kids to go. And then they thought, oh, it's quite a good idea. We teach them something. We teach them how to read well here. So that's their skills of all. But yeah, you know, I'm all for routines when they serve you, but not
regimented.
Mm-hmm. You know, because some people love a schedule, people love a routine, and I get it. And I probably was that probably about 20 years ago, because it allowed me a kind of regulation in a certain extent. But 10 years ago, I rejected it completely. And now I do more than I've ever done. You know, run an engineering company, run my own bank, do associate coaching, do all these other things. And I do it. And I don't really work past 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I don't want a Friday. Mm-hmm. Because I know that I can sprint. You know, I know when I work really well. I also know when to rest.
Yeah.
Some days I just wake up and I'm like, that's not happening this morning.
Yeah.
And I get pushed to the buffers built in. But I still manage to do everything. And I don't do it half-heartedly. I do it to the best of my ability. Deep rest is something that we don't do enough of.
Yeah.
Because I know that if I rest, and it feels counterintuitive, doesn't it? It's the doing the rest, but because then I know I can smash out.
Yeah.
But
because you're recharging.
Yeah,
you're recharging.
I mean, who knew? Who knew?
Yeah.
But what we're told to do is keep pushing through. Well, hold on, I'll mark creativity in my diary for 10 o'clock on a Friday morning. But it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that for me, certainly.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't work for me like that either. It comes in bursts.
Yes.
And then I can go, like, so I see clients and teach classes on 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
My other 4 days are for what I need.
Yeah.
So if it's rest, I take them as rest. If I am inspired or motivated to create content or write emails or blog posts or whatever it is that I want to do, then I do that. But there has to be that buffer zone, because I could just work every single day and feel like I was really busy and really doing totally loads of stuff, not getting any results,
yeah,
and completely wiping myself out.
And who benefits from that?
Nobody.
Nobody. And it's really interesting at the moment. I've been doing a lot of testing on social media because I'm not on social media, and it's really interesting at the moment. There's a whole generation of faceless stuff on TikTok and Instagram, faceless Instagram accounts, none like that. Introverts have been doing that for a million years, not obviously on social media. But you know, people like me have been doing that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down, it was a couple of weeks ago, but literally felt inspired, batched about a million psychological concepts, turned them into reels for Instagram, and they're getting my best traction ever. And they're all scheduled. I'm checking your comments. Sorry, folks. Yeah, I'm just interacting with me on there. I'm not on there. It's just a robot. But it's those things, because I know that I need naps, and I know that, you know, I'm going to be doing stuff for the engineering company that day, or I'll be coaching. I'm not sitting all the time going to my phone. I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I'd rather be up a mountain,
mm-hmm,
skiing, or, you know, walking in fresh air or whatever.
Having a cuddle with your cat.
Having a nap on the couch, you know, with my moggies. So I don't want to be tied to that. So there are ways of being omnipresent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, oh, cat, you're everywhere. I'm like, I'm in my bed.
They have scheduling for a reason.
They have scheduling for it. And it's also, if you get that burst of energy, particularly if you're living with chronic illnesses,
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff, we don't all have the same hours in the day. You know, technically we do, but we don't actually, and it's a social construct. So just whenever we get time, just I'm like, all right, let's just do that. I feel like doing that today. That's 2 months worth.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Happy days.
Because I might not suit everybody, and that's okay too.
Yeah. Yeah. So play by your own rules.
Oh, in fact, just take up the rules.
Yeah.
Anti-chameleon. That's my word of 2024.
Anti-chameleon. Putting that on Instagram.
Anti-chameleon. It sounds like, oh, you're at your aunties.
Oh, anything else we want to talk about or say before we wrap up?
I think.
Where do people find you on the internet? Obviously, you're not
really
there, but
to find
me. how do we stealth like come across you?
Yeah, so Instagram's a place I kind of hang out basically. So Kat Patterson STG, that's Kat with a C, Patterson with one T, because I'm spelled Kat Patterson STG. And on LinkedIn, still a professional, trying to turn the stuffy into the non-stuffy. And I'm on there just as Kat Patterson. So yeah, come and connect with me
if you can find me.
If you can.
Good luck.
Can you email me? I'll always answer my email, but I don't answer messages and stuff like that.
Brilliant. What a great conversation.
Thank you so much for being here.